by having a testimony. Barbara, would you come up and share? And while she's coming up, you guys remember Bobby Connor? How many? Show of hands. I'll tell you what, for those of you, you put them down, come, you're in for a treat. Bobby Connor will blow your socks off, okay?
Walter wanted to know if it was about him. No. Sort of. 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, my sister had a brain aneurysm. She is 14 months younger than I am and has 2 children, one Maria's age and one Michael's age. And we got the news, and we said, you need to come right now because we don't know how long she will live. And so all we could do was say, all I could do was say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, mercy, mercy. You know, forget the big, powerful prayers. It's just mercy. And so we called. I called several people I knew, and nobody was home. And so I called Walter. You know, I waited till I calmed down. I thought, who has been through the valley of the shadow of death? And so we called Walter. And by the time Walter and I were finished praying, I knew she wasn't going to die. So that was the first trouble. And then on the way out of town, I called the other person I knew that just recently walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's Kitty Hamer. I said, Kitty, we know she's not going to die, but we really need your prayers. And so she began to pray, and then it got through the church. And we miraculously saw very unbelievable things happen with her quickly. The doctor has said over and over again, she should not be alive. People do not live when they have this serious an aneurysm. And I don't want to go through all the circumstances of what had happened, but by Monday when we left, she was speaking to people. Her long-term memory is intact. She had no paralysis. She had had no more seizures. And so we were pretty thrilled, although she kept introducing the poor nurse. First, what is your name? Don't worry, I never forget names. And this is my sister. And then she came back. She said, what is your name? You know, I never forget names. And the nurse said, yes, you will. And she was very funny. And, you know, the Lord showed me something. And that is, your true character in a situation like this comes out. And you didn't see any bitterness in her. And she's been through some tough things in her life. And I just kept looking at her thinking, oh, my goodness. The things the Lord has done for you, in you, and you've allowed him to do in you to take all that junk out of you so that in this crisis, when people really see who you are, you're funny. You know, everybody who comes in, you don't remember them, so you're going to share the gospel with them, you know, over and over again all day long. Which is, you know, and she makes jokes. She says, hey, you want me to see me pull a tube out and make the nurses come running? Sure. And then we had a setback about a week or so later. And I think we've learned many things from this. When you're in a spiritual battle, you know, the testimony is not at the end. It's in walking every day through it. And we realized we'd let our guard down on some things. And she became unresponsive. She didn't recognize her husband or my mother. And so they did some procedures. And now they're just waiting for it to calm down. She... she's almost back to the place she was when we left a week ago. But if it's okay, see, Dave wanted to share something that I'm afraid of him too. But Marie just wanted to come and hang with us. Because this whole thing is not Maria Gabriel, Barbara Matthews thing. It's a whole family thing. We're all walking through this. And I'm just so grateful that we have a God that we could come with our broken hearts to and say, you know, today's a bad day. I just can't deal with this today. And he says, you know, we'll comfort you. I'll comfort you. My Holy Spirit will be with you. And we will get through today and we'll get through tomorrow. And the one thing that we've gotten is we know the Lord doesn't want her yet. And so we hang on from there and we work from there.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you all for your quick response. And when I put stuff in the prayer chain, how quickly we believe how the power of the prayer went out to turn things around. In watching this whole thing, you're just amazed at how powerful prayer is. I mean, her very existence wouldn't be there if it wasn't for that. And it's like my brother-in-law said, the things that are happening as a result, you can't get your arms around everything that God's doing. It's not just about Maria, even though she's the centerpiece of it. It's about every member of the family that's being affected by this. Some in good ways, some it's displaying even more so how dark their heart is. And you just can't imagine how he would say things like, this is not the church's place to take place of him or to minister this. And you just go, how could you even think that? You know, and yet the Lord is showing sovereignly how through the church he is ministering to their family. And not only that, but I've learned things in this about healing. And the Lord is beginning to take me to school about it. About, I know that for some time I tripped about coming in here, and this is an aside, and having Mahesh lay hands on me and not be healed in my back. And just there go, this makes no sense. Why is this not happening for me? And then 15 years down the road, the Lord taking me to school about it, saying, you've got things to learn about this. And we all do, but thank you for your prayers, and thank you for everything. We just are, we were carried. When Barbara and I were in the first parts of this, it's like, first you go through your emotional drain, and then the Lord snaps you up and says, I've got hope for you, and I'm going to deliver. And you just, all you can do is sit back and watch from that point on.
Praise God that he is much bigger than we think he is. Praise God that he is more powerful than we are. Praise God that he don't listen to us. I'm going to start with the book of Acts chapter 1. But before we go wrestling the pages there, I want to take a moment and I want each of us, when we go into this prayer, we did this years ago, and I want to do it again today. I want each of us to stand with me in prayer and personally invite the Holy Spirit to come and fall upon you personally. Can we do that? Let's stand. We want you, as we pray, Holy Spirit, fall upon me. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, fall upon me. God, I need a touch from you. God, I want to sense your anointing. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. And Father, Lord God in heaven, Father, I ask you, let your Holy Spirit fall upon us. Father, I ask you, let your anointing come and let it start raining upon us, just like it's raining outside. Father, not a drizzle, but Father, a steady, steady pouring rain of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you personally to fall upon me. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to be with me. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to cover all over me. I invite you, Holy Spirit, that your anointing may be over me. Amen. Amen. And sit down. Relax. We're going to continue in our evangelism series, and we're heading into an area that maybe by some thoughts or logic, some would say should have been put at the front. But I kind of left it go towards the back because I wanted to lay a foundation, which is why we've been doing this, I think, since last September, October. I'm losing track. I'm getting old. But we've been laying down a foundation of the gospel, and today the message for the gospel is an everlasting, life-changing touch from God that should come. And we're talking about evangelism with power. We're talking about the Holy Spirit coming and falling upon us. We're talking about God's desire to give us more than we asked for. God's desire to empower us more than we ever thought was possible. God's desire to give us a power that we might be able to witness through that. Which is one of the reasons I started out with the videotape. How many of you were here for the videotape just before worship? Okay. Now this guy was hit by the power of God. And he could barely say a word in English. Everything was coming out in tongues. And that was real. There are times, and I show that because sometimes we get this idea in our heads of what we want God to do with the power of the anointing in our lives. We get this idea that God, when it's my turn for you to pour out a blessing upon me, this is how you're going to do it. And God doesn't work that way. When we ask from God and get a hunger for God, and we say, God, let your anointing fall upon me. God, I need a fresh touch from God. You have to be ready for anything. You have to be ready for anything. You could go into a state where you can't even talk. All you do is talk in tongues. Or, like some people I know, they start laughing. Personally, I don't know anybody like that. I've been told, however, that sometimes the person laughs so much he can't even finish the prayer he started. And there are times he can't even stand up anymore. So he falls. But I'm talking about receiving God's promise. So I'm going to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 4. It says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father had promised. And that promise was that he was going to send the Holy Spirit upon them. And he tells them not to leave. And I'll tell you this morning, the promise of the Holy Ghost, the fresh anointing of God, is available to you. And I'm telling you not to leave. And what I'm telling you not to leave is not to leave the town, not to leave the church, but I'm saying not to leave the pursuit of God and his promises. Continue and press on after God. In verse 8, he explains to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Once again, the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing, is there to be a witness. To be a witness. It is not. Although, many have told me, and I'll be in agreement, that it is a nice feeling. The Holy Spirit doesn't come just to make you feel good. The Holy Spirit is not just there to give you that goosey, ooh, yes. It's there so that you may be a witness to what God is doing. Now, in verse 12, it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. They went to the upper room where they were staying. And in the upper room, they were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. You see, the apostles received the promise. And the promise was that God would send the Holy Spirit upon them, fill them with power, that they may be witnesses. And he told them, don't go anywhere. So they went to the upper room, and they were continually in prayer. Now, one of the things that we have to notice, first of all, is that Jesus never really told them when. Oh, yeah. He told them not many days from now. But this is from a guy who thinks a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. He didn't say, go, because it's coming quickly. He just said, go. Don't leave, but wait. And so these guys go up into the upper room, and they get up there, and I'm just trying to imagine what it's like. Okay? God is telling them about something they're going to receive, and they have no idea what this something is. They have no idea what this something looks like. All they know is that God says, you're going to receive power from on high that you might be witnesses. So go, don't leave, and wait. And so they get up to the upper room, and they're asked, So wait. Now, imagine us. Here we are. This is the upper room. God said, wait. So what do? Somebody will go, let's pray. Oh, good idea. What shall we pray? Let's see. Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Shall we do that? Oh, yeah, we can. That's a good start. So you might find somebody doing the Lord's Prayer. Then we'll sit around and go, well, what else? Now remember, there's still no real Holy Spirit here. This is just us. Let's see. How did Jesus pray? Well, let's see. Now, though they fell asleep while Jesus was in the garden, there was enough information that they knew how Jesus prayed. You see how Jesus prayed in the garden? He argued with God. If you want to pick, you take this cup, you take it. Okay, you don't want to. He got into this argument with God. He prayed with God and talked with God like he knew God. He talked and prayed with God like it was just a normal conversation going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, these guys knew Jesus, and Jesus made a promise to them. And they're in the upper room, and we're trying to figure out how they're going to pray. I don't know about you, but I bet it went something like this. Well, he said the Holy Spirit is coming, so let's ask God to send the Holy Spirit. So what would that look like? Father in heaven, you promised us that you will send us a helper. You promised us that you will send us power. You promised us that you were going to fill us with the Holy Ghost. Father, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that went well. What do we do now? Okay, you pray. Okay, I'll try. Father, you promised us to wait for the Holy Spirit was going to fall upon us. Father, you promised us an anointing. Father, you promised us power. Father, you promised us comfort. Father, send your Holy Ghost. Well, now, how long are we going to wait? What do you say? Not many days from now? Like I said, once again, this guy, to him, one day is 1,000 years. But you know, there was something to the disciples in this upper room. One, they refused to give up on the promise. And second, they refused to let God forget he made a promise. They refused to let God renege. And so they started to get hungry for God. 1 hour passed. Where is that Holy Spirit? Where is that anointing you promised me? 2 hours passed. Father God, we're not leaving until they come. A day has passed. Father Lord God, let your anointing come. Let it fall on me. And pretty soon, the whole room is praying in one accord. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. I don't care, God, how long it takes. I need your touch. I don't care how long it takes, God. I need your anointing in my life. Father, I'm dry. I'm empty. I need a touch from you. I need a change in my life. I'm not going to let you go. I want you to come. That's what I think they were praying like. And they were taking turns, stirring each other up. Just when one of them would go, I don't know. They'd say, oh, yes, it's going to work. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, let your spirit fall upon him. Give him more. And they continued. In one accord, they continued. We must be willing and hungry for God. I'm not just talking about making a mental assertion that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Scripture says that. I believe it. I'm not talking about making a mental assertion that where two or three are gathered, there is the Lord. Scripture says that. I believe it. But the Scripture talks but the power of God. And the power of God is not invisible. The power of God is not transparent. The power of God is real. The power of God lets His presence known. The power of God falls upon you and there is no doubt in your mind that something just showed up. That's what I'm talking about. We got to get hungry for God. You say we're hungry, to quote Rodney Howard Brown, he says, get more hungry. If you say, it's not enough, I give up, there is no way God would do anything for me, damage that. God, you promised. Don't let God renege on His promise. Don't let God take away what He's promised to give you. I'm talking about a life-changing touch from God. I'm talking about everlasting, everlasting, everlasting. You will never be the same again. Ever. I was a Christian for a couple of years. Just doing the Christian stuff. You ever know? You look to the scriptures, you do the Christian stuff. You have this rule that you go by. These things that are Christian stuff. The stuff that Christians do. And you do them. And it gets wearisome. And it gets tiresome. And you think, you know, if I just try a little harder, I'll be that Christian doing the Christian stuff. And you get tired. And it wasn't until I cried, God, let your anointing come, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, and the Holy Spirit fell, that I understood freedom. That I understood liberty. We gotta get hungry. We gotta get desperate for God. We have to get desperate for God like Jacob in Genesis 32. He was on his way back and he spends an evening wrestling with a man. The scripture says he was wrestling with a man all night long. He was actually wrestling with God himself, the angel of the Lord. And you know, in this wrestling, Jacob has grabbed onto this man and refuses to let him go. Refuses to give in. And the guy says, let me go. He goes, I will not. I will not let you go. Until you bless me. You want a blessing from God? Grab a hold of God and don't let go. Grab a hold no matter how much He tries to shake you. Don't let go. Grab on and say, I won't let go. Until you bless me. Scripture says that towards the morning, God touched him on his side, gave him a limp on his leg, changed his name from Jacob to Israel, and then blessed him. Jacob was touched by God, changed forever. Never again would he be the same. Touched by God, changed forever. Got to get desperate. Got to get desperate for the things of God. Desperate. Like the blind man in Matthew chapter 20. He was sitting on the side crying out for what? Mercy. How many of us are afflicted? How many of us are in pain? How many of us are in torment? How many of us got all these issues that are binding us up? Cry for mercy. Mercy! Mercy! Mercy, Lord! I need the blessing. And when they tell you to shut up, when they tell you to quit, and Luke, the scripture said that when they told him this, the more he cried out, no way! No way! The more! You're not taking my blessing from me! Mercy! God touched him. His blindness lifted him. The man was touched by God. Changed forever. Changed forever. We got to get desperate for God. We're going to reach the lost. We got to get desperate for God. But we want to see people saved. We got to get desperate for God. We got to get desperate like Jairus in Mark chapter 5. When he comes to God, he comes to Jesus. He doesn't just come to him and make a request. Scripture says that he fell on his knees and implored him. Implored him. You ever have anybody fall at your feet? Anybody, give me this question. Anybody ever had anybody fall at their feet? Okay. Isn't that a weird feeling? You're standing there pretty much helpless. I mean, you got somebody who's real desperate. If they're going to come fall at your feet to make a request, it's difficult to shake. Try to get your feet out from underneath them, and they're grabbing onto your feet, and you can't quite get away, and you're like, whoa. So Jesus finds himself standing there with this guy with his hands wrapped around his feet on his knees and falling at his knees. What's he going to do? Get away? Can't even do that. Guy right there, right on top of his knees. Right there, please. You got to get desperate to a point where you put God in a place where God has to bless you. Isn't that odd? God allows that to happen. That you get desperate enough that you refuse to leave until you get the blessing. You got to get desperate. In the same chapter, the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years in sickness. 12 years was too much for her. I've had it. Now, her solution was a little different. A little bit more creative. She didn't feel she needed to go right to Jesus and stop him on his tracks. She simply said, if I but touch his garments, I will be healed. 12 years of suffering and agony and desperation led her to the point where she said, you know what? I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to take it. I'm not even going to ask anymore. Because God's desire is that I be healed. God's desire is that I be whole. God's desire is that I don't continue this way. I'm going to take what he's already given. I'm going to take what is mine. And she reached out and took it. And she was made whole. That woman and Jairus, that woman was touched by God, changed forever. Jairus' request was that Jesus would heal his daughter. At the time, his daughter was simply sick. By the time Jesus gets sick, she's dead. And still, Jesus healed the daughter. Jairus received a touch from God, and he was changed forever. Forever. Now, I guess it was around 94, 95, so that would be about 6, 8 years ago, that some of us in the church got a huge touch from God. I mean, the anointing fell on some of us here that to this day, I don't think any of these people are the same. I'm one of them included. Driving down the road all the time, I talk and I argue and I fight with God. But in the middle of all this, constant knowledge and verification of his presence is always on me. And when I talk about this, sometimes I get blank stares. Huh? What are you talking about, presence? God's always there. And you know, about 8 years now, the Spirit of God has been constantly and steadily falling and following me around. I got touched by the power of God, and I've been changed forever. And I tell you this because this is available to you as well. It doesn't take, for you to go to a class to learn about the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit fall upon you. In Acts chapter 11, I'll read this quick story for you because I think it's just amazing. The Spirit of God went to this man and said, hey, I want you to find this guy named Peter And I want you to send your servants to get him, because Peter is going to tell you things that will show you and tell you how to get saved. Isn't that amazing? You know, I don't know about you, but that's probably one of the ultimates. For somebody to come and get you and bring you to their house and say, tell me how to get saved. Can you imagine that? Somebody coming specifically to you and says, come and tell me how to get saved. And Peter was told the same thing. Peter was told, hey, when they come get you, you go. Because I need you to tell them how to get saved. Now, as we read this in verse 13, well, let's start with 12. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgiving. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered into the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in the house and saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and your household. Then in 15, look at this. And as I began to speak, this is Peter, the Holy Spirit fell upon him, just like he did upon us. Is that a witness? What a gospel message. As he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit fall upon you. There's no special education. There's no special only requirement that you got is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit fall upon you. As he spoke, the Spirit fell upon him. This man was hungry for a word from God. This man wanted to know how to get his life right with God. This man knew that it was a matter of life and death, that he'd go out and seek and bring back that which will tell him how to be saved. He was tired of the way he was living. He was tired with the unsatisfaction in his life. He was tired without having results in his life. He was tired of not knowing how to get right with God. And he went and sought and brought back that person that could tell him how to get right with God. And when he did, he was touched by God and changed forever. You gotta get desperate for God. Desperate for God. Church needs a new touch from God. We need a new touch from God. We need a fresh anointing from the living God. We need an anointing that will fall upon us, change us forever. We need an anointing that will fall upon us, that when the Spirit of God comes upon us, it gets a release to those who need it. Our gifts of healing, our gifts of prophecy, our gifts of knowledge, that we may be able to step out and preach the gospel of salvation in power, that they may believe that who we speak of is real. When the anointing comes, you don't have to worry about convincing anybody about Jesus. You walk in power. And I tell you, going back to that clip, some of us may go, I don't want to be blessed that way. I want it more safe. I want it more reasonable. You look at Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. It says that the hand of God fell upon him. He girded up his loins and he outran a chariot. And he had given the chariot a head start. And he outran the chariot. Can you imagine? The Spirit of God coming here and saying, you need to go to Waldorf and preach to this person in this room, blah, 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 blah. Before his cousin takes him out drinking. And his cousin's halfway there. And you beat him without a car. I know you're saying, all those years in the gym paid off. But some of us got years in the gym, but no time on the equipment. We just drop off our kids. And one time we used to actually work. Now we just drop them off. But the Spirit of God came upon Elijah and he outran the chariot. Let's go back to Acts. I'm picking up in chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Then in verse 2, catch those first couple of words. And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The Spirit of God comes upon you suddenly. In the midst of your desperation, in the midst of your crying out, just when you get to the point where you don't think God's going to bless you, just when you get to the point where you want to quit, just when you get to the point where you don't want to do it anymore, you press on, and suddenly, the Spirit of God will fall upon you. Suddenly, it will come upon you, and when it comes upon you, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if it comes out in laughter. It doesn't matter if it comes out by running a chariot. You're off and running. These people, look at them. What happened to them? And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were speaking in all kind of languages. So crazy, it spilled out into the street from the upper room that the people say in 12, and they all continued in amazement with great hostility, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they're full of sweet wine, or they're drunk. Now, that's the way to start a church. First impression to the public, we're drunk. A bunch of drunks on the street. That's the new Christian movement. That's how you want to be known? Does it matter? See, that's important. Does it matter to you what the presence of God looks like in your life? It should. Because I tell you what, we may not know what it's going to look like, but there are a couple of things we can be sure of. Number one, God will be glorified. This day that these people thought they were drunk, Peter preached the message, and bunches of people got saved. Does it matter that they thought they were drunk? Because when the Spirit of God shows up, odd as it may look, the presence of God is there. And when the presence of God is there, all arguments disappear. Everything else just goes by the wayside. Will it look like that guy where you can't talk? It may. Does it matter? No. You know, that guy went on to help out Rodney Howard Brown. He's now one of the second in command. Has his own crusades going. Thousands of people are getting saved regularly. God gets glorified. God gets glorified. The people around you receive a blessing. The Spirit of God comes upon you. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Someone next to you is sick and you heal them. Trust me, they're going to listen to you when you say God healed you. Or the Spirit of God comes upon you. A word of prophecy comes out and you deliver it to somebody where you speak their heart and mind. They know God's there. I remember reading this story years ago. He was in one of the Asian countries, and he decided to walk into one of the Asian places of religion. And he was in there, and he decided to pray to his God in their place. Now, this guy didn't speak any of the Asian languages. But as he was kneeling there, across from him was a lady, and she was praying in her native tongue. And he never spoke. He didn't understand the language. But as she began to pray, he heard every word she said and understood exactly what she was asking of God. And he answered her in her language. And she looked at him and he says, that's what God showed me about you. That lady got saved. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what's going to happen. God's going to get glorified. People around you are going to get blessed. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be changed forever. You will recognize for the first time what the presence of God feels like, and you will hunger for it evermore. Never again will you be satisfied walking about doing your own stuff anymore. You'll be walking around doing your own stuff, and you get that dry feeling, and you will say, Father, fall upon me again. Oh, the Spirit comes and falls upon me. And you go, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Never again will you be the same. power of the Holy Spirit is there for power. Now, you guys familiar with the city tombstone, Arizona? Okay, Corral. Come on, now all those cowboys are going, oh, yeah. You know, I guess all the people that grew up with Westerns or understand the Western story, I don't know, that was one of my places I've always wanted to go visit. The OK Corral, big shootout. I got a chance to do that about a month ago. Pretty cool. Yeah. And one of the things that they notice is that you have the lawmen and you have the outlaws. And these guys, I guess if you took the badges away, let's take the badges away for a moment, and then put them all together. So it's kind of hard to tell who was who. I mean, the lawmen were pretty rough. They were pretty rough, pretty callous, and the bad guys were pretty rough, too. I mean, both these set of guys, you know, you could probably put badges on either one of them, and you're kind of like, eh. But you know what the difference was? Even though they were both equally as rough, rugged, scoundrels, whatever you want to call them, there was one thing that was for sure. In that place, there were some that had power and authority and others that just had power. And the ones that had power and authority would overtake the ones with just power. The Holy Spirit validates you not only with power, but authority to act from God and His Word. With the power of the Holy Spirit, you receive the authority from God to loose demons. You receive the authority from God to heal sickness. You receive the authority from God to set captives free, to mend broken hearts. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you confront these other powers and principalities, yes, they have power. Yes, they are tough. But you have authority. And with your authority, your power will overcome. Let me wrap this up with another one of my dream visions. Scripture says that the young man will dream dreams and the old man will see visions or something like that. I get both at the same time, therefore I'm middle-aged. When all I'm seeing is visions. But I was at home dreaming. I lay in my bed. I get this dream, and in my dream, I am walking in a park. It's one of these parks that you may find in the city, right? In the center, there's a big fountain. Remember those parks, you got those huge fountains in the middle, they just kind of go up forever. And then all around them is the grassy places, where even though there's a chain link fence, you don't go on them, people are having a picnic. Well, I tell you, my dream, that grass was as green can be. I've never seen grass that beautiful. It was peaceful. The day was not hot. Thank goodness. The sky was the sharpest, sharpest blue I had ever seen in my life. It was peaceful and quiet. There were people having picnics throughout the grassy area. There were people strolling with their families. There were people flying kites. And as I looked around me, I was like, wow, what a neat place. And then even though this is what I was seeing all around me, I noticed that to my left, it looked different. I couldn't quite see. But they had this little hedge, bushes. I know it isn't. But I noticed on the other side, it didn't look quite the same. So I walked towards these bushes, and I was compelled to step over them. When I stepped over to the other side, I was able to look back, and that scene of that picture park, that perfect picture park, was still there. But on this side, it was dark. And I hear screams and hollers. You can smell fear in the air. And as I look carefully, I see this person running for their lives, screaming at the top of their lungs, only to have this half
human kind of creature pounce on them and kill them. And as I look around, this was happening all over the place. People were getting slaughtered and killed and ripped apart by these demons. And I said to myself, I think I stepped over the wrong push. And quite honestly, yes, I was afraid. But I kept walking through the mayhem, and as I would walk, I would notice all this carnage laying all over me, people being destroyed, chased, run. And I said to myself, if I just stay still, they won't notice me. And just about the time that I said that, one of these creatures came at me. The creature came at me with such force that it pounded my chest, knocked me square to the ground, and I was laying there on my back saying, what happened? And at the same time that I lay there wondering what happened, something inside of me said it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have happened. And this creature was getting ready to pounce on me and finish me off. And believe it or not, I actually sprung to my feet. I know. Hang in there. It is a dream. It is a dream. Therefore, it's possible. But in my dream, I sprung up to my feet to meet the new charge. And again, I said to myself, that shouldn't have happened. Boom! Back down on the ground. I said, this is not right. Again, the creature came to pounce on me, and again, yes, I sprung up. My dream, I can do many things there. But this time, when the attack came, I was able to foil the attack. And actually, didn't gain any ground, didn't lose any ground, was able to repel the attack. And I stood there. And again, something said to me, this is not right. They ought not be able to do this. And as I was thinking this, I could sense a power falling from the heavens onto my head and emanating out of my being. And as this power continued to increase, I could feel the flow increasing. And the creature, person, demon made another attack. This time, before they even touched me, I was able to repel. Just by the thought of pushing them back, they flew back at least 15, 20 feet. They stood up again, prepared to come once again. Only this time I heard a voice tell me, you need not do anything. Allow me. And I put my hands to the side, and as the creature came, the power that came from without me, whack the creature, send them back 40-something feet, never to come back. That power that I'm talking about is the power of the Holy Ghost exercising authority over powers and principalities that have no authority. And as I walk through this area, the power not my own, as I knew by now was not my own, was growing steadily in strength and might and power that I only simply have to walk within the vicinity of these demons and they will cower away. Cower away that I may be able to reach that which they were about to slaughter and put them under protection, but then he have to fear the end. As I continue walking through this area, I soon found that I had a lot of people following me. And I was able to give to these people the key to how to have the power work in them. That they may walk on their own without fear. That they may walk on their own with power. I was able to step out of this area of darkness back into the night side as I brought a lot of people with me. But then I was unsatisfied being in the night side because people they were taking care of, so I came back the other way. Now in the middle of this dream, and it was during the fight, that's when I was so shooken up that I jumped out of my bed. I'm standing in the middle of my room, and the vision is still there. Hence, dream and visions. The rest of it was just vision, as I saw play out what went around me. Now, I say this because God wants to bless you. He wants to bless that person that's calling. He wants to bless us in such a way that we receive a touch from God that will change us forever. That we will never be the same again. That we will never look back at things the same way again. That we will be unsatisfied forever and ever if we walk in a dryness, not with the Lord. That we will walk in power. That we will walk into situations. The Spirit of God will fall upon us and we will have boldness to preach the gospel, boldness to cry out the things of God, boldness to stand up, and boldness to resist powers that have no authority. Now, how many of us would like that? Okay? I'm going to have to answer now. How many of us would like a touch from God? Now, in review of what I just told you, this is a work we can certainly start today. God may touch some of you right now. They're probably touching some of you right now. Some of you are going to have to cry out to God and grab onto His garment and not let go at all. But God's desire is that you be touched by God to change forever. I'm talking about a walk with God where you know that His presence is there and there's nothing that can change. That you know that in the middle of your dryness, you can say, thank Lord, and receive a touch from His loving God. If you want that, I'm going to say, stand up as your first sign of being desperate for God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and join us in worship because we're going to worship the living God as we cry out to the living God for a touch from God. So why don't you stand? Amen. Amen. Now, don't be in a hurry to go scootling off. If you have to go, you go. But if you want to start a new walk with the Lord, if you want to start with a fresh anointing, a fresh touch from God, I invite you to start moving your way forward as we start to worship. Worship and cry out to Him. I'm going to step down. I'm going to start praying over you. You keep asking the Lord for a touch, your touch. Lord, you promised me. I want to sense your presence today before I leave. Amen? You guys ready? Almost ready. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. Father, your anointing has been falling upon us all day. I ask you, Father, let your anointing fall upon those that are seeking. I ask you, Father, let your anointing come. Father, and there's some of you who feel bound up, restricted, held back, unable to press forward. I want you to come up front first. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Just come on up. If that's you, come on up. Press into God right now. As you come forward, come in there saying, Lord, I want to get freed up. Lord, I want your blessing. Lord, I want your anointing. Lord, I'm tired of this. Lord, I can't take this anymore. Lord, I want to get desperate for you. Lord, you made a promise. Now keep it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been feeling sick or have an ailment that's just been bugging you and holding you back. I want you to come up and let God and His anointing start to work on you and start to deliver His healing power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Some of you strong guys, if you can come and help, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to your holy name. Bless you, Jesus. Kuria si arayaba kukuria ki arayakataya ki iaraya suria ki arayakapapaya ki arayakataya ki araya ki arayakataya. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Lord. There it is. Yes, Lord. Kuria ki arayasu kuria pipi araya ki isi arayakataya ki arayakuria ki arayakatataya. Some strong guys with strong backs, come please hang loose. Kuria si araya papaya ki araya ki araya kataya ki araya katataya ki si araya kuria ki araya si araya katataya. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord, and He holds the keys. He is Lord, and He is willing to provide a blessing. He is willing to let the Holy Ghost come upon you. He is holy. He is holy. He wants you to receive. Receive from the living God. Father, let your anointing fall. Thank you, my Lord. More of you, Father. Let there be a fresh touch from God, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. A fresh anointing. More of you, my Lord. I thank you, my Jesus. Let your Holy Ghost come. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Kuria si araya katataya ki araya. Kuria si araya papapaya ki araya tataya ki araya. I araya kuria ki araya si araya. Iki araya kukuria si araya papapaya ki araya tatata. Kuria katatata, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your healing power come. Let your anointing fall. Let there be a fresh anointing, Father. Kuria si araya kukuria ki araya papaya. Thank you, my Lord. More of you, my Lord. More of you, Father. Bless your holy name. Kuria si araya katataya ki araya katataya. Kuria si araya papaya. More of you, my Lord. Let your power come. Let your anointing come and fall. Father, let us get desperate for you. Let us get to a point, Father, where we want more of you. More of you, my Lord. We can no longer stand where we're at. We're tired of the way we're living. Father, let your flow come. Bring peace upon our lives. Bring comfort upon us, Father. Let your Holy Spirit fall. Let me know your presence is here with you, God. I thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let your Holy Spirit fall. Let your power come, Father. I ask you, Father, to break the barriers that are holding us back. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, to overcome that which holds us back. Now, you guys up here in the front. Can we play something in bless you, okay? What I'm going to ask you to do is we're going to go into worship. But as we go into worship, I want you to stretch out your hands and I want you to say, I receive, Father, fall upon me. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fall upon you, okay? And you go into worship and you cry out to the living God, okay? Yeah? You got it? Okay, put your hands up. Look up to God. Father, I desire a touch from you. Father, let your Holy Spirit fall upon me. fall upon me. Cry out to him. You guys sensing something coming over you? A little something. It sounds like a little breeze. I'm not talking about the air conditioning. Thank you. I'm not talking about the air conditioning. I'm talking about a presence, just a soft, gentle presence. Father, let your Holy Spirit fall upon me. And we're going to go to worship. Mercy is falling upon us. Amen. Mercy. Let's go to worship. Mercy is falling. Sweet rain. Mercy is falling. Falling is falling over me. Thank you, Lord. Mercy is falling. Falling is falling. Mercy, it falls like a sweet spring rain. Mercy, it's falling all over me. Thank you, Lord. I ask you, Father, let your Holy Spirit fall upon me.
Mercy, it's falling,
wash him anew, make him clean. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Mercy, it's falling all over me.
You guys are welcome to stay with us and worship. You're welcome to.